everyone, and welcome to Las Musas Podcast. My name is Lordian Du, and I am the author of Family Song. Today, I'm joined by Ana Siqueira, Gloria Muesca, and Hilda Burgos, and we are going to be talking about the submissions process on this episode of Debut Diaries, the picture book edition. Let's start off with Ana. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your book?
Sure. So my name is Ana Siqueira. My debut book is coming July 2021, and it's called Bella's Recipe for Success. I'm going to read the blurb here on Goodreads. Bella wants to find out what she's good at, but she quits everything she barely tries because she's a disaster. Her somersaults are like giraffes rolling downhill, her piano playing like elephant feet. When she decides to learn how to bake with her abuela, her first attempt at dulce de leche frosting looked like cocodrilo skin. She must learn it's okay to try again or she won't be good at anything. It is a growth mindset book and is peppered with Spanish vocabulary and set into an intergenerational Latinx home.
Thank you. I love that. I'm so excited to read this book. And I also know that it's coming out with Beaming Books, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. And I forgot to say the illustrator, too, is the amazing Geraldine Rodriguez from Mexico. She did an amazing job.
Yeah, the cover looks phenomenal. All right. So, Gloria, can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yes, I'm Gloria Mesqua. And hi, everyone. I can't wait to share my book and my debut process with you. My picture book bio is Child of the Flower Song People, Luz Jimenez, daughter of the Nahua. Model and storyteller, Luz Jimenez keeps her native pride and resilience under the dominant Mexican culture. Luz, a Nahua, aka Aztec, embodied the native people as a model for 20th century artists such as Diego Rivera, and also told cultural stories in Nahuatl that researchers captured, helping keep the native language alive. She longed to be a teacher, and though stymied by the Mexican Revolution, she became a teacher through her cultural identity as a Nahua and through language. She was known as the Spirit of Mexico. I'm very excited that Duncan Donatiu is the illustrator. Child of the Flower Song is written in verse and comes out fall 2021 from Abrams Books.
Oh, that sounds gorgeous. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited for both of these. Hilda, why don't you tell us a little bit about your book?
Okay, hi, thank you. My name is Hilda Eunice Burgos, and my debut picture book, The Cot in the Living Room, comes out on June 1st of this year. It is illustrated by Gabby D'Alessandro, and the publisher is Coquila Books, which is a Penguin Random House imprint. And here is the official description of it. Night after night, a young girl watches her mommy set up a cot in the living room for guests in their Washington Heights apartment, like Raquel, who's boring, and Edgardo, who gets crumbs everywhere. She resents that they get the entire living room with a view of the George Washington Bridge, while all she gets is a tiny bedroom with a view of her sister, who snores. Until one night, when no one comes, and it's finally her chance. But as it turns out, sleeping on the cot in the living room isn't all she thought it would be. With charming text by Hilda Eunice Burgos and whimsical illustrations by Gabby D'Alessandro, The Cot in the Living Room is a celebration of the ways a Dominican American community takes care of one another while showing young readers that sometimes the best way to be a better neighbor is by imagining how it feels to spend a night sleeping on someone else's pillow.
Oh my goodness.
Beautiful.
Oh my goodness. And I'm so excited about Coquila too. They're relatively new, right?
Yes.
Only in the past couple of years. And I know that, you know, 2020 kind of like didn't even count as a year basically because of what happened. But that is just so exciting to hear these three books coming out. My book is called Family Song. It's about a multi-ethnic family, such as my own, about a family that has Cuban relatives and Chinese relatives, and how a brother and sister kind of introduces their new sibling to life as a mixed kid. I'm pretty excited for it. It's coming out. I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out, to tell you the truth, because we've had to kind of push it off a little bit because of last year being a little bit wacky. But it should probably come out in 2022 at this point from HarperCollins. All right, so let's get to some questions about the submissions process. All right, so Anna, let's talk about, how do you deal with rejections from editors?
Well, I've been learning a lot, and I've been accepting rejections much better than at the beginning. So my agent normally submits to 9 or 10 editors at a time. Mm-hmm. And then she has this Excel sheet that she does put all the rejections, when she submitted, if they rejected. Then she forwarded me their emails. Some emails are pretty nice. Some say, well, we really like the book, but right now we are not looking for this kind of book, or whatever reason they might give. But I learned that we just need one yes. So 1 week I had 5 rejections in a row. And I was like, oh my God, she submitted to 9 and it was taking long. And then I got 5 rejections, and I told my group, my critique group, I just got 5 rejections in 1 week. And in the same week I got an offer. So, you know, well, it was not the offer. It was like, it's going to the acquisition meeting, right? Because that's the first thing. But I learned that you just need one yes. So if she sends to 10 editors and I have 5 no's, I'm still being patient. Not patient. We cannot be patient, right? But I try to wait and say, okay, I just need one yes. So that is the way I've been dealing now with rejections.
That's great. How about you, Gloria?
Well, mine is kind of a different situation, since I've only had one book submitted to editors. My agent wants to develop a career with this particular publishing house. But, and that one, that's mission, basically Abrams Books, the editor, Howard Reeves, just kind of jumped on it. So I didn't have time to have rejections from others.
And good.
That doesn't mean I haven't had some rejections. I have. When I sent to editors who were open to submissions from a conference, I was definitely disappointed when I received a rejection, but I just kept going on to the next steps. I mean, you have to believe in yourself and your work to find the right home for it.
Right. Hilda, what do you have to say about dealing with rejection?
Well, my experience might be different from the rest of yours because I don't have an agent. So I haven't submitted a whole lot of work, and I've only submitted to editors who are open to unagented submissions, but I have received a few rejections. I basically view submissions similar to the way I view the weather. I think if you carry an umbrella, then it's not going to rain. So I figure if I assume I'm going to get a rejection, then I'll get the offer. Or at least I won't be that disappointed when I get the rejection. So like, I know you had mentioned that Kokila is pretty new, and they are. And they had opened, I think mine was the first year, you know, they opened 2 unagented submissions for maybe a 2-month window every year. And so I found out about it, and I submitted The Cot in the Living Room to them. And then I just put it out of my mind. And I decided, I'm just throwing it out there. They're probably going to reject it. I'm not going to think about it. I'll just turn my attention to other projects. And then 6 months later, when I received the email saying they were interested in acquiring the book, it was a very pleasant surprise.
Yes, I love that.
Great. So that's my strategy. I just play mental games with myself.
Hey, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah.
I actually used to be very involved in theater when I was in high school and college. So I learned from a very, I guess not very early, but a pretty early age, how to handle rejections and just, you know, if something's just not the right fit for you, it's nothing personal, it's just not the right fit. And, you know, just keep going. One thing that I like to do to help me emotionally kind of weather the storm of rejections, I just try to keep myself busy. I try to always have a personal little project going on that I can pick up and put down easily, that I can use to distract myself with. So very much like your way of doing it, Hilda, you know, I guess I kind of not really like play favorites, but like I can say to myself in my head, oh, well, I wanted to work on my project anyway. So yeah, I think that, Anna, you were saying that you just need one, and no matter what, how many like no's you get, you just need that one yes. I think that is just such a beautiful way to think about it. So I think that that's how I'm going to start thinking about it from now on, to tell you the truth. All right, so let's talk about something called R's and R's, revise and resubmit. So I know in my experience, when you submit to an editor or a publishing house, sometimes you don't get a yes, you don't get a no, you get like a in-between answer, which is, let's work on this and see where it goes. I like to think of that as, again, like in my experience with acting, like a callback, where it's kind of like, well, I don't want to say yes right away, I don't want to say no right away, but let's give it like a little closer look. Have you guys ever had a R&R, a revise and resubmit request from an editor for a piece that you submitted? And if you could just tell us a little bit about how that process went and if the book ended up being acquired or not by that editor. Okay, so Anna, have you ever received an R&R, a revise and resubmit, from an editor, and how was that process for you?
Okay, I did receive a revise and resubmit from my last deal. My last deal cannot be announced yet, but the editor didn't say yes or no, said yes, maybe I want to take to the acquisitions meeting, but I need you to make some changes. And I did make the changes. I submitted back to her. She loved it. She took to the acquisitions meeting. At that time, I had two more offers from another publisher, so it was an auction, but I ended up accepting the offer from this editor, from the R&R, because I really liked the new manuscript. I thought it made the manuscript even stronger, and I really enjoy all her editing lines and ideas. So it was a fun process for me because I really like getting suggestions from editors. Their suggestions are very strong. So I think it made the manuscript even stronger, and I enjoyed the process.
Okay, Gloria, have you ever received the R&R, and what was your process like?
Well, I didn't receive any revise and resubmits during the submissions to editors, only in a submission to an agent. And that took a long time, but I did acquire an agent after the resubmit. My editor responded quite quickly after wanting to acquire the manuscript. So no, I haven't had any of those. I'm sure they're in my future.
Yes, they're always, I feel that they're always a really good opportunity because at the very least, you get to kind of just explore ideas. And you know how they always say that two heads are better than one, right? So I feel like it's just an opportunity. Hilda, what are your thoughts on R&Rs? Have you ever had one? What was your process like? Did the book get acquired or what happened?
I sort of had an R&R. My first book is actually a middle grade novel. Mm-hmm. Ana Maria Reyes Does Not Live in a Castle. It was published in 2018 by Lee and Low Books. And for those who don't know, Lee and Low Books has two contests every year for authors of color and Native nations. So there's a New Voices Award for picture books and a New Visions Award for YA middle grade and graphic novels. So I had submitted this Ana Maria to the New Visions Award contest. It was selected as a finalist, but it did not win. So I received an email telling me that it did not win, but that they were interested in considering it for acquisition if I made some edits. The email, now that I know what editorial letters look like, I realized that email was actually quite short. It was only about 2 pages with some suggestions and listed some changes they wanted me to make. So I immediately responded and said yes, that I would resubmit it. And then a week or two later, they had asked me to submit it maybe in about 3 months, I think. And a week or two later, I received another email saying that they went ahead and discussed my book at their acquisitions meeting and they wanted to make me an offer now. So I ended up getting the contract without ever submitting the revisions. But, you know, after I signed the contract, I did incorporate some of those changes that they were asking for. And so it was still helpful to receive that email, but I didn't actually deal with the whole R&R process at that point.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I have had a couple of instances where I was asked to revise and resubmit. And like I was saying before, it for me, it's always just such an interesting process to get to kind of play in the story a little bit more, think about it in a little bit of a different way and see what other people's thoughts are on it. I just think, you know, this is such a collaborative process, writing a book, especially in my opinion, a picture book, when you have the author and the illustrator and the art director and the editor and marketing all involved. And you really do have to collaborate in order to have a really great, excellent piece of art at the end that you can get out there into the hands of children. So now to kind of switch gears a little bit, I know that when I'm on submission, I am a little bit of a nervous wreck for at least the first couple of weeks until I can kind of just like finally relax. But how do you guys deal with like something like, for example, checking your email frequently when you hear that your book went to an acquisitions meeting? Ana, what do you do about that?
Yeah, for me it's very tough because when it goes on submission, I know that they won't reply that soon. So like the first 2 weeks, I'm not that worried. But like after a month, I started trying to check my email, her Excel sheet and everything. And when I heard that my books went on acquisitions meeting, yes, you get very nervous because you want to be positive, you want to be hopeful. Oh, yes, they will acquire, but you don't know. Sometimes they don't. Lucky me, that didn't happen to me. Both times that it went to the acquisitions meeting, they said yes. But you get really nervous and you wanted to know. And I have to confess that I check frequently. But because I teach till 3 o'clock, until 3, I cannot check my email basically, like maybe during lunch. But then after 3, I do have my phone with me, and if I hear bling, a notification, I go look at it. So I do know that I have to learn how to control that. But the good thing, I know that my agent, she's even worse than me, because when I got an offer, she called me and she was living in Japan, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning there. And she texted me, said, can you give me a call? Can I call you now? And I said, yes, here was a regular time. And then she called and said, what are you doing awake at this time? She said, oh, I just like look at my phone and I saw that and I had to call you. So I know she will call me right away if I have an offer. But yeah, it's hard for me. I have to learn, maybe Gloria or Ilda will give me, or you will give me some tips to avoid looking at my mail, like all the notifications all the time.
Thank you, Ana. Yeah, it's definitely a exercise in self-control, I will say that. So Gloria, how about you? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think really that I was such a newbie that I really didn't think about it. I thought that if the editor wanted the book, then probably acquisitions would agree. That's just being such a new person to the process that I didn't really even worry about it. So I didn't check my email all the time. I just waited to hear.
That's great. That's that is the way that I wish that it could be for me. Hilda, what about you? Do you drive yourself crazy over checking and refreshing your email every 2 seconds, or you kind of just try to play it cool?
Well, I haven't had a lot of experience with this. I mean, I know that with, like, when I submitted the cot in the living room, for instance, I didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't know when it went to acquisitions or anything. I submitted it to this, unagented submissions process that Kokila did. And then 6 months later, I got an offer. So I didn't know when that went to acquisitions. And the same thing happened with my first middle grade book, which I entered into a contest, and I didn't even know they were going to take it to acquisitions. But with my second middle grade book, which is also coming out this year, also from Lee and Lo, my editor, after my first middle grade came out, my editor asked if I was working on anything else, and I sent her a synopsis in the first 10 or 15,000 words, and she really liked it and said she was going to bring it to the next acquisitions meeting. She told me the date of the meeting. So I did check my emails constantly after that. And fortunately, it didn't take her that long to get back to me, but I don't know how you can stop yourself from doing that other than to keep busy and keep writing and keep doing other things. But it's easier said than done. I'm not really sure what to suggest other than to just have a whole lot of other things to do, a lot of other projects. And I also have a full-time job, so that helps.
Yes, definitely having a, I like to call it my day job, is really useful in distracting, keeping me distracted when I am waiting on my agent to get back to me about something that went to acquisitions or anything like that. So now, Hilda, you kind of just answered this question. You said about 6 months, which is very different than my experience. And I would love to hear more about how you coped 6 months waiting. But Anna, I heard that you, it only took about a week or two for you to hear that you were waiting and checking your email constantly. So is that right?
Well, let me explain. Like for the acquisitions meeting, normally it takes a week. Okay. My books, the offers that I got, the first one took about a month to get an offer. And then she took to the acquisitions meeting. And then in a week, they sent me the offer. Mm-hmm. The other book maybe take also about a month. And then a week or two for the acquisitions meeting. I don't remember exactly. The last one, it took 2 months to start getting my offers. I got multiple offers, but it took 2 months because it was in 2021. Well, most of them were in 2021, but this one took longer. It was already with the COVID and everything.
Right.
So it took 2 months. So I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get rejections, but I didn't get yes either. It took me 2 months, like with basically, I think maybe 2 rejections, and we sent to 10. So we still had 8 editors open in 2 months, but I didn't know if that was a good sign or a bad sign. So my agents kept telling me this is a good sign because they didn't reject it yet. But I was like, oh my gosh, nobody's going to say yes. Nobody's going to say no. They're just not going to reply. But after I got the offers, it took like maybe a month or more because of the auction process. But I already knew I had my offers, so I was happy. Even though I was super overwhelmed, but I was
happy. Gloria, how about you? I think that you were saying that yours did not take very long to hear back.
No, it really didn't. The editor made an offer pretty quickly. And then I think it only took, after maybe it was 2 weeks to go to acquisitions. And then it only took a few weeks after that. It could have been a month. But again, I don't have a lot of experience with this, with the submission process at this point. But I think he really wanted it because he put a deadline for us to accept or not. Mm. And then when my agent contacted where it was submitted to other editors, they hadn't had time to even look at it. So, you know, that was kind of a different situation.
Right. And Hilda, 6 months, how do you be patient? I think mine took like 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and it was like such a long, grueling wait. And I was driving myself crazy every day of those weeks. How did you live through 6 months of waiting to hear back?
Well, the 6 months wasn't after it went to acquisitions. The one that I knew about when it went to acquisitions, it was only about a week.
Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, the 6 months is when I submitted the, you know, they had Kokila had the open submissions for unagented authors, and then I put it in. And then 6 months later, they got back to me and said, we've read it and we'd like to acquire it. And you know, the same thing with my first book, which I submitted for a contest. I didn't know when it went to acquisitions. I think it got back to me very quickly after it did go to acquisitions, but since I didn't even know about that, I wasn't sitting around waiting. So it was only with my second middle grade that comes out in the fall that I knew the date that it went to the acquisitions meeting. And I don't think it took that long. Although, to tell you the truth, I don't remember the exact date, but about one day later, I was already emailing my editor and saying, so you took an acquisition, what happened? You know? And she did get back to me right away. So yeah, it's hard to.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that, you know, on their side, they're going as fast as they can, you know.
Right.
So I hate to come off like I'm saying like, oh, the publishers take so long, because they are handling a billion of other things too. And then plus, especially this past year, everything was really slowed down. But I think that that's something that a lot of people who don't really like, you know, it's like, unless you know, then you don't know. But like people who are not really very experienced in this field, sometimes I think it comes off as a surprise to them to learn like, oh my goodness, it takes like sometimes 2 years between a book being acquired and or like written and then submitted and then acquired and then for it to actually be on bookshelves. It's like a really long process. And it's not that people are just sitting around relaxing in their hammocks, drinking a drink. It's that there's just so much happening and everybody is multitasking and everybody's working together to make the best possible product to get into these kids' hands. So it's one of those things that it's like a double-edged sword, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish that it could just be a quicker process. But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that so much thought and effort went into making this, because that makes it just like so special. So so speaking of working with other people and getting your book out into the world, working with editors is such an interesting process, because yes, it is your book, it is your baby, but your editor is your right hand person here. So how does your editor work with you on revisions, Anna?
Okay, well, I work with three different editors and I loved all of them. Normally, like, you're gonna get an editorial letter, right? And normally they will start with anything that is not like the little tiny stuff. They will start with big changes. So if they wanted you to change something, the plot or the character or the structure of your story. Then after you make that change, if they approve it, they will ask like for more details, for word choice or, you know, smaller things. Mm-hmm. So far, I haven't had to do that many changes on my manuscript, just a few tweaks here and there. The one that I made more changes was during the R&R. So after that was also just a few tweaks. But they always have No, they always have great ideas. I really enjoy the process. As you said, you learn a lot with them because you learn not only like how to revise your work, but you can apply that for your future work. So I really enjoy working with editors. And I think it's a great opportunity.
How about you, Gloria? What are your feelings on working with the editor?
Oh, I love working with my editor. He sent me questions about certain sections and comments, as Anna said, about some more general things and some, you know, questions that really made me think about stuff. And as Anna already said, too, as we went along, it went down to more word choice or more particulars. I think I had 4 revisions. None of them were really major changes except for cutting the back matter and the timeline, since this was a biography. And they all improved the manuscript. I really love working with my editor.
Hilda, what was your experience working with your editor?
Well, you know, I have 2 different editors, one for the middle grade books and one for the picture books. So since we're talking about picture books here today, we first spoke on the phone. And she asked me how I prefer to receive editorial suggestions, which was really nice.
That is
because, you know, different authors have different styles. And so I appreciated her willingness to tailor her feedback to my style. And, you know, and I told her that, you know, I would like to see them in an email because I like, I'm a visual person. So she then sent me an email with some general suggestions as well as some line edits. I can't remember exactly. I don't think there were a lot of rounds of edits, but we also made some additional changes while the illustrator was working on it. And that was also very nice that they sent me all the draft illustrations and all the sketches and asked me to make suggestions, and I did. And then after seeing the illustrations, there were some words that we thought we should also change. So it was a very collaborative process, and it was a lot of back and forth in a really good way. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. That's so wonderful. I have been loving all of the people that I've had the opportunity to work with. I actually, more often than not, illustrate than I write. So I really, most of my experience is working with art directors, but it really is just one of those, it reminds me very much of when I was pregnant and, you know, like the baby's not here yet, but it's coming. And like, you could go and get an ultrasound and see the work in progress and, you know, but you're not going to really have like the full picture come into focus until the very end. And just that whole process of like, I would say it's almost like kind of like sharing your heart with another person, getting messy, creatively messy, is such a magical process. Now, we all know that there are lots of ups and downs from the submission to publication. Like I said, it could take a long time. There could be a lot of hurdles in the way, like a pandemic, for example, or other things. I actually heard once of an illustrator was working on a book and was really struggling with her mental health, and they had to kind of take a break. And when she got back to it, it was just a whole new world, a whole new book, and it was amazing. So what were some of your ups and downs in your whole publication process, Anna?
I don't think I had that many hurdles so far. My debut book is coming, as I said, now in July. Yeah, my book was supposed to come out in March, and because of the pandemic, they changed it to July. So it is a kind of a disappointment, but I think it was for the best, because hopefully July, the situation will be a little better. We're hoping, right? Let's see.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always your struggle is the wait, right? Because it is a long process. That book that is coming out was not that long, because I got the offer basically December 2019, and it's coming already in 2021, July. But yeah, but my other book was like, I got an offer, and the book is for 2022, and then there is a one for 2023. So it, you know, it is a long process. So you have to be patient, but mm-hmm. I'm learning to be patient, and I'm learning it is a good thing because I have a full-time job and you have to dedicate so much time, like when your book is coming out, also to marketing, to contacting people.
Right.
If you had a bunch of books coming all at the same time, it would be kind of overwhelming for me. So I think it's a good thing that my books are coming
phased out.
Yeah, phased out. And but basically for me, that's the only thing, the waiting to... for the announcement, and you mm-hmm. want to announce to everyone, but it's a secret, you cannot right. tell, you know, the waiting for the contract, all of that is hard. But as you said, we know they are all busy, they are doing their best, but it is tough for us, the wait.
Yeah. How about you, Gloria? What are some ups and downs that you have been going through, having to deal with, or been celebrating during this whole process?
Well, as it's been said, it does take so long for publication that I guess I didn't realize how long the process was. I mean, even after you've been given an offer, then it takes so long to set up all the paperwork and so on and to sign and all of that. And for my picture book biography, I had to wait for the illustrator, Duncan Donatio, because he was busy finishing his own book before starting on mine. He currently writes and illustrates his own books, but from the beginning, my editor thought he would be perfect for my book because it was about a Nahua woman. And he uses a style that's very reminiscent of the Aztec and Mayan hieroglyphics.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that, I mean, he's an award-winning illustrator, so I'm thrilled that he's an illustrator of Child of the Flower Song People.
I'm so excited for all three of your books. I'm telling you, it's like we're in this golden age right now of picture books, and every new picture book that comes out, I'm just floored with how beautiful it is.
Oh, I finally got to see the colored pages. Oh my gosh, I was just blown away. It was just wonderful. Yeah, and also, let me just tell you, because this is another thing, my title change several times. I don't know if people had that. It changed with my agent, then it changed again with the editor, and then it got extended with the marketing people. So yeah, I had to go back and kind of change some things that I had on the different sites because the title changed just last I think November. And another part of the process that we've talked about a little bit, but I wish editors would explain to us is the hurry up and wait aspect.
Yes.
I mean, on revisions, I had short turnaround times, and I think everyone does, but then waited months before hearing anything back. And it probably has to do with editor schedules and other books. I know that they're shepherding other books through publication. Mine is not the only one, and I understand that. But somehow, that hurry up and get your edits done. I don't understand it since it's taking so long, but anyway, that's the way it is. So we just are going to deal with it.
Right. Hilda, what are your, what are some of your ups and downs of this whole process that you've had to either deal with or been able to celebrate?
I think that, you know, once it's accepted,
yeah,
and you get your offer, there's a lot of really great things happening. But I think one of the downs about the whole publishing industry in general for me is that, you know, I really like stability. I've been in my same job for 30 years. I haven't applied for a job in over 30 years. And with writing, it feels like you're basically perpetually applying for jobs.
Right.
And with each book, you're putting yourself out there again and again, and you're asking to be accepted again.
Right.
For another job. So that's, you know, just sort of in terms of the whole a career as a writer, that's the one thing that I think is sort of a down. In terms of the ups, you know, it's really great to meet an editor who gets your story and shares your vision for it. And, you know, when you're writing a picture book, I know you're an illustrator also, but, you know, I'm just a writer, and seeing those first illustrations was pretty exhilarating because it felt like my words really came to life. and sometimes in ways that I had not imagined. And I think, you know, the illustrator and the art director did a really great job of just, you know, really enhancing my words. So, you know, while writing sometimes feels very personal, very individual, collaborating with others to make your words shine is a wonderful feeling. And, you know, and of course, then holding your book in your hands for the first time is really, really awesome. And, you know, and I got to do that with my first middle grade, and I'm looking forward to doing that with my other books too.
Thank you, Hilda. Yes, the books are so much, and I know that in this, you know, in this field, in this community, we talk about something called a book birthday, which is, you know, your pub date of your book. And usually the tradition is in Kidlit to, you know, kind of celebrate it a little bit, post a picture, very similar to, you know, when you have a baby, and very similar to that same process. It takes a village. It really does. And I don't want to say that it's not any longer a creation of your own, because you're right. It is. You're right, Hilda, that you said it is very specific to you. It is an individual experience. It is your book, but without the help of all the other people involved and the little finishing touches that, like, for example, the art director or the cover designer, you know, will put into things, it just brings it to this level that it would not be possible to get there with just one person working on it. So it's just such a magical and beautiful process, bookmaking. And to me, yes, there are many pros and cons, many ups and downs, but through all the hardships, all the frustrations, the rejections, the waiting, the everything that all the messy parts of this, for me, and I know that you guys will agree that it is all worth it in the end when that book is in the hands of a child and they have the smile on their face, or they could see themselves in it, or, you know, it's their favorite book that they make their mom or dad read over and over again. I mean, it's just all worth it. Just like how 9 months of pregnancy is worth, you know, the end result. So it's just such a beautiful process, and I feel so lucky to be part of this reality. So thank you so much for sharing all of your thoughts and experiences with us. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more, delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.